So this morning we're going to be hearing from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 6, verses 27 through 36. If you'd like to follow along in your blue pew Bible, I encourage you to do so. It's on page 729. So the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 6. But I tell you, those who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not stop him from taking your shirt. Give to everyone who asks of you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be called children of the Most High. Because God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Sometimes being honest can get you in trouble. If you don't believe me, imagine this. A husband and wife have been invited to a formal Christmas party. The husband gets all dressed up in his nice suit and tie, and he goes in the living room and he waits for his wife to get ready as she's in the bedroom. She's just bought a brand new dress and she's getting ready, and finally she comes out to the living room and she asks the question, that every man hates hearing. Honey, does this dress make me look fat? Yeah, sometimes being honest can get you in trouble. There was a boy named Charlie. He lived out in the country with his mom and dad. They lived in a house that was so old, it did not even have a bathroom. So whenever Charlie had to do his business, he had to use the outhouse out by the creek. Now, if you don't know what an outhouse is, it's basically a porta potty with a hole in the ground and it never moves. Charlie hated that outhouse. It was hot in the summer, it was cold in the winter, and it smelled all the time. Charlie decided that someday he would tip that despised outhouse into the creek and watch it float away. So one day during the spring, it rained so hard that the creek swelled, and Charlie decided today is the day that that darn outhouse goes into the creek. So he got a large stick, and he pushed and he prodded, and finally he toppled the outhouse, and into the creek it went and floated away. That night at dinner, Charlie's dad said, "Charlie, after dinner we're going out to the woodshed." Now, Charlie knew that meant he was in trouble and he was going to get punished. So he said, "Why, Dad?" And Charlie's father said, "Well, son, today someone pushed the outhouse into the creek. It was you, wasn't it?" Charlie admitted that, yes, he had done it. But then he was quick on his feet and he said, "Dad, today in school I learned about George Washington. And I learned that George Washington chopped down the cherry tree, but he didn't get in trouble when he was honest." And Charlie's dad said, "You're right, son, you're right. But when George Washington chopped down that cherry tree, his father was not sitting in the tree." Sometimes being honest can get you in trouble because the truth hurts. A number of years ago, I was an associate pastor at another church. And it was my turn to preach that Sunday, and so all week I had been thinking about a sermon, but nothing was coming to me. I would sit at the computer screen, and that darn screen would taunt me with its blinking cursor all week. God just was not talking to me that week. And so I finally pulled something together, but when it came time to preach, I started my sermon, and I got up and I said, I really don't know what I'm supposed to say to you today. God didn't really seem to be talking to me this week. And then I gave the sermon. It was interesting the reaction I got after the service. Some people approached me and they said, Wow, thank you for being authentic and vulnerable and honest, because sometimes God doesn't talk to me either. And if he doesn't talk to you, I guess it's okay. But another woman, she approached me and she said, you are our pastor. We don't want to hear that God doesn't talk to you. Sometimes being honest can get you in trouble. I'm not always very successful, but I try to be an honest person. I try to be an honest pastor. And I'm not always successful. There are some things I don't tell you, quite frankly, because some of it's none of your business. Today, I want to be more authentic than usual. Today, I want to be more vulnerable than usual. Today, I want to be more honest than usual. And I know that sometimes being honest gets you in trouble because the truth hurts. One of the things that bothers me about our culture is leaders rarely seem to acknowledge when they do something wrong or apologize when they do something wrong. And I see this all across the board, in government, in business, in sports, and yes, even in the church. Oh, leaders are quick to apologize after they've been caught or when it's the politically correct thing to do. But I can't remember the last time a leader stood up and said, you know, I made a bad decision. I was wrong, and I'm sorry. They know, as you and I know, that being honest sometimes will get you into trouble. But that's what it means to be a leader. It's your job to lead, to be an example, to show the way, to be a model of what you should and what you shouldn't do. It means doing the right thing, even when the right thing is hard to do. That's what it means to be a leader. I'm not perfect, but I never wanted to be the pastor that could never admit when he did something wrong. And recently, I did something that was wrong. In the Gospel according to Luke, Jesus tells his followers, his disciples, how they are to live their lives. That's you. That's me. That's everyone who has ever followed Jesus, and it's anyone who will ever follow Jesus. Jesus wants his disciples to live their lives in such a way that they stand out from their culture. He wants us to live our lives with our actions and our behaviors to show that a new kingdom has come, an upside-down, countercultural kingdom has come. Jesus wants us to show by our actions and by our life that we know he has brought a message that has turned the world upside down. Now, this is not a list of do's and don'ts. Do this, don't do that. Do this, don't do that. Listen to this music, don't listen to that music. Drink this, don't. It's not about that. It's about a matter of your heart. It's an attitude of your heart. Love your enemies. Turn the other cheek. If someone asks for your coat, give them your shirt as well. And the one that everybody knows is this: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Recently, I did not do that. And I was wrong. 3 weeks ago, before I went on vacation, I was right here in this very spot. And in the middle of the sermon, there was a child that was being a bit noisy and rambunctious. And I said, "Excuse me, that's distracting." And the mother got up and she took the child out of the sanctuary. It was distracting for me. I know it was distracting for you because I stand up here and I see all of you. I was only being honest, but sometimes the truth is hurtful. I could have handled that differently. I could have handled it better. I could have spoken to the family after the service. I could have addressed it differently. I was wrong because that is not how Jesus would have handled that situation. Let me say that again so you hear it. That is not how Jesus would have handled that situation. And so I was wrong. I want to apologize to the family, and I want to apologize to all of you because I was not leading the way. I was not modeling what it means to be a Christ follower, and I'm sorry. As believers in Christ, as followers of Christ, we don't get to choose who we will respect and who we will disrespect. That's no longer an option. That doesn't mean we need to agree with everything that someone does. It doesn't mean we need to approve of something that everyone does. Even Jesus didn't do that. However, it does mean that we need to treat people the way we want to be treated, to treat people the way Jesus would treat people. And the way that Jesus treated people, whether through compassion or through confrontation, was always about making them better. It was never about him and his message. It was never about that. You know, I've said this before to you, and sometimes even I need to hear it again. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's about living your life in such a way that the kingdom of God, the countercultural, upside down, radical, loving kingdom of God can be seen through your life. It's not about your E-G-O. It's about your G-O-D. And sometimes that means standing up and saying, "You know what? I did something that was wrong. I'm sorry. How can we fix this?" We live in a culture where everybody's mad at each other. This person is mad at this person. This group is mad at that group. This country is mad at that country. Everybody's mad at each other. And I think it's time for Christians to start acting like they are Christian. I think it's time for people who say they follow Jesus to actually follow Jesus and do what Jesus tells us we should be doing. And it's got to start with me. And it's got to start with you. I know. This is hard to hear. And I know that sometimes being honest can get you into trouble. Because sometimes the truth hurts. Amen.